Okay. Right. Okay, so here we have this Shabbat is going to be Vayakhel, Parshat Vayakhel. And the main content of the Seder of the week is about the building of the sanctuary, the building of the Mishkan. And so we're going to be taking a discourse which was said in 1954. And it's not mugon, that means it wasn't edited by the Rebbe, but it was published, and this week it's published in a publication called Dvar Malchut, which goes in thousands and thousands of copies all around the world, so this is the discourse that's published in it this week, so...
Is it in Hebrew only?
Yeah. What do you mean in Hebrew only? It's primary in Hebrew. Mm. If there's any Yiddish, it's translated. Mm. You know them?
Well, it just happened, left a message that it's now going to be available for the Bali Matam, and I didn't know if it was and what language it was available.
So it's been, this particular discourse has been very widely published because it came out in this Dvar Malchut publication. So, the beginning of Vayakhel, which, where the main content of the Sedra is about building the sanctuary, but the very beginning is about Shabbat, and that's a very interesting aspect of this. Vayakhel Moshe et kol adat b'nei Yisrael, and Moses gathered the whole community of the Jewish people. We're just looking at the psukim from the Sedra. Vayom alem, and he said to them, Eile hadvarim, these are the things, or the words, asher tziva Hashem la'asot otam, which God is commanded to do, sheshit yamim te'aseh melacha, for 6 days work shall be done, Uvayom Ashvi Yeh Lechem Kodesh, and the seventh day should be holy for you. Shabbat Shabbaton, a Sabbath of Sabbath, La Hashem for God. Kol Haosevo Melacha Yuma, anyone who does work on the Sabbath is liable for the death penalty, assuming there are witnesses who warned him that what he was doing would be liable for the death penalty, and nonetheless he went on and did it, and the two witnesses are not related to him, nor are they related to the other, to each other, and various other rules, such as they can't make their living out of card playing. It all works to make a conviction rather unlikely. But lo tavaru esh b'chol moshvatechem b'yom haShabbat, don't burn fire, ignite fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day. And then it continues with getting gifts, donations in order to build the sanctuary and the actual details of making the sanctuary. Now, one of the things, one of the ways in which the sages explain this is that the definition of Shabbat is not working. And the definition of work is building the sanctuary. So therefore, the way in which the work which is forbidden on Shabbat is defined is as those varieties of work which went into building the sanctuary. And they are defined in the Mishnah Tractate Shabbat, they are defined in terms of 39 activities. And in fact, we have, on the next page, we have the relevant section of the Mishnah in the 7th chapter. Avot Malachot, the main categories of work. Arba'im Chaseh Echad, 40 less 1, in other words, 39. And then it gives a whole list of these that you can see in the English translation. Sowing seed. Plowing, reaping, binding sheaves, threshing, winnowing, cleansing, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking. Now all that has to do with baking bread, because there was bread in the sanctuary, the 12 lechem hapanim, the showbread that were there in the inner part of the sanctuary, so baking bread is part of it. Then we have shearing the wool, washing, beating, dyeing the wool, spinning, weaving, making two loops, weaving two threads, separating two threads, tying a knot or loosening one, sewing two stitches, tearing in order to sew two stitches. Well, all this is making cloth, which for the sanctuary was used for making the curtains of the sanctuary. And then we have hunting a deer, slaughtering it or flaying it, salting it, curing its skin or scraping it, cutting it up, etc. Writing, raising in order to write, building, demolishing. Now this you could say, if the there's the bread and then there's the cloth, which you could imagine as being made in terms of our ordinary lives, being made to make garments. And then you have a building, which is like building a dwelling, building a house, demolishing, extinguishing, kindling fire, striking with a hammer, carrying from one domain into another, the activities which go with many kinds of work. Now, what we're going to find in this discourse is that the life of a person is going to be defined in terms of three simple activities or three simple dimensions. The food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, the home that we live in. And that simple way of analyzing our lives here in this world relates to a spiritual dimension, where one can see in the sacred spherot, in the divine manifestations, we can see something similar in some way. And this relates to the spiritual sanctuary. And the sanctuary is, while on the one hand the sanctuary is an actual temple, or the temple in Jerusalem, ultimately, it's also a spiritual entity, and it's also an aspect of our own lives. Because when Hashem said, when God said to make the sanctuary, He said, you should make a sanctuary, and I will dwell within them, meaning within each individual. So the sanctuary is something within each of us, and we represent the sanctuary ourselves. And so within the sanctuary there are these different dimensions of structure or form. The inner dimension, like food, within the life of a person, a slightly more makif, surrounding dimension, like clothes, and then ultimately the home that one lives in and one's activities in the world. And so there is this sense of the person being the expression of sacredness, of holiness, which emanates around them through our normal daily activities.
Sorry, before we go on, why can't you fold on Shabbos? It's not mentioned.
No. Now, in order to understand how these 39 categories of work apply in our daily lives today, one needs to read a book. I mean, I actually meant to look before coming this evening to check whether this book's still in print. But it's a book by Diane Grunfeld. Isidor Grunfeld, Zichron Lebracha, a very wonderful man whom I knew personally. And he wrote a book called The Sabbath. And what this book does, I see Nicole getting up, reaching for the bookcase. Wonderful. Here it is. Thank you so much. Yes, in its modern edition. That's gorgeous. The fourth reset edition published by Feldheim. And this is 1981. I hope it's still in print. It's a beautiful book. The Sabbath.
So you wanted the older version.
Oh, that's the older version, right. Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Yeah, that's lovely. Yeah, so also Feldheim. Yeah, this is 1959. This is probably the first edition. Yes. Yeah. Well, here it says... I see. No, no, no. 59 is the third edition.
Oh,
wow. Hanano Hara. Yeah. So it's a wonderful book. Mm. I'll tell you what this book does. He goes... You see, there is each of these categories of work. Now, those categories of work, each category is called an av malacha. Av means father, parent. The parent has toldot, has children. So there are, in other words, subcategories which come from the main categories. So you have the main category, and under the main category come quite a number of toldot, which are subcategories. In addition to that, all that is midoraita, all that is from the Torah. In addition to that, you also have gzeirot of various kinds from the sages, decrees of the sages, adding various bits and pieces around the Sabbath laws. So, he goes through, in the middle of the book, he goes through, first of all, he explains this whole system, and then he goes through each one of the 39 categories. He shows what are some of the subcategories that emerge from it, and what are the rabbinic decrees, and he gives examples from daily life. Well, whether or not you can fold is not, you know, it's not like a black and white issue. Whether or not you can fold, and people might well fold certain things, you know, and on the other hand, they might not. So, you know, so in any
maybe
synagogue,
if you pre-fold, you can't. Sorry? Like when you take your trousers off, you can't actually fold it down where the fold of your trousers is. But if there isn't a pre thing, then you sort of do it messily. Decal, you can sort of do messily because there's no pre lying on the fold. You know?
No, what I was getting at, we used to fold the napkins for the kiddush.
Right.
And then we were told that you're not supposed to, so now we just lay them out flat.
Okay.
Do you mean one fold, or you mean you used to put them into the design?
No, you know, the napkins are square, so you used to fold them over into like a rectangle.
Yeah.
We were told that we weren't supposed to do that on Shabbos, so we just lay the napkins.
Sorry, is that what the rabbi said there, or somebody told you? I just
rabbi. Rabbi Ginsbury. Yes.
All right. Because I understood that you could actually fold one, but you couldn't make it into a pattern. You
so I don't know if it was a his drasha or is it?
Interesting.
That's why I didn't want to say his name to begin with. Yes, Robert Ginsburg said we weren't to fold anymore. So,
all right.
I'm just curious. I hadn't heard it before. That's why.
In order to really be clear about Shabbat activities, at least on a particular level, there is a 3-volume work in English called Shmirat Shabbat Kehilchata.
It's actually gone up to 4 now.
It's gone up to 4 volumes. That's wonderful. Right, keeping it originally was published as a single volume in Hebrew, keeping Shabbat according to its law, and then in the English translation, here we are. Nicole is demonstrating.
Are you trying
Thank
to
you.
Sell all Nicole's?
Well, it's wonderful.
We
that
have
Nicole
got one too
got
many in the room, I imagine.
It's a marketing initiative.
Buddy, if you could hold it up, and I'll just write down the.
Yeah, here, yeah.
Could we see the first edition, please?
No.
Yeah, so this is a wonderful work by Rabbi Neuwirth, keeping a guide to the practical activities of Shabbat. Now, so do you have the volume which has got... Oh, look at this. You see, one of the nice things is that...
The best possible way, that's volume 4, which I decided not to get it because I didn't think I was quite there.
It's got, you see, it's got an index. And so you look up in the index, folding, look at this. Folding clothes or cloth articles, folding for use on a subsequent Sabbath, folding furniture, folding paper, letters and documents, table napkins, to make a toy, folding a wrapper on a book, okay?
Oh, wow.
So there's plenty to read.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's from the index, and it tells you which volume and which page. You know, so there's a whole lot to find out about.
And actually, Rabbi Fuchs brought out that blue volume, which is actually much more practical. He gives you, you know, like he did with the food preparation, 101 explanations, examples of what you can and can't do for each melacha.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Which has actually got much more, because sometimes, even though you read Sushma and Shabbos, you're not 100% sure on the day-to-day basis of what you can and you can't do.
Right.
Well, he actually gives you the, you know, really nitty-gritty of the practicalities of it.
I see, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. So which book is that?
It's this one. It's the... It's you know, it's like his preparation of food for veggie. He does everything on the level which a housewife would, you know.
Oh, lovely.
You know that one? It's not a deluxe print, but it's actually very, very useful. Like forms of wrapping that are not considered. And that,
Very interesting. Okay, lovely. Okay, first class. So that's Zachor Ushmor in six volumes. Okay, well, right. So there we see the. But all of these books. Well, I mean, the basis of the law is structured around the labors in the sanctuary. One of the Hasidic explanations of this. We haven't quite begun the. Mimer, yeah. One of the Hasidic explanations of this is that our work during our lives is creating a sanctuary. And on Shabbat, the sanctuary is there. And so because Shabbat is Me'ein Olam Haba, Shabbat is a taste of the world to come. So we are building the sanctuary, we're building the temple. And that's all the activities that we do, whether our activities are, whatever they may be, we're actually working towards that goal. And so therefore, if the sanctuary is there when it comes to Shabbat, we can't do any more work, because that would break the illusion that the sanctuary has been completed. Because if we went on working, then it would be suggesting that the sanctuary wasn't there, whereas in fact, on a deep spiritual level, it is there. And so therefore, we don't work on Shabbat. So this book is fascinating in giving all, different steps for the actual practicality of the Shabbat law. So it's around this general theme that the discourse works, in its presentation of the way in which the food and clothing and home of the individual relate back to sacred dimensions which are being manifested within and around us as we live. Okay, so we will sing the melody of the Maimer Nigun, as it's called. Oh, yam, bam, ba, ya, 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 Baho ya yiram ba ya ya yom ha yiram ba ya ya yom ha yiram ba ha yiram ba yo ya ham ba yam bam bam ha ya yam ba yam bam bam hom bam ba yom bam ba yom Ahoy, ya 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 rama ya ya ma ya ya rama ya ho ya rama 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 Ahoy, ya ya ma ya ya rama ma ho ya ya ma rama ya ma ya ma rama rama ma 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 Yam ba yam ba yam ba yom, ha yir dam ba yam ba mom, ba yir dam ba ha yir dam ba ho, yam ba bam ba yam ba mom, Vayakhel Moshe et koladat b'nei Yisrael, and Moses gathered the whole community of the Jewish people, vayom aleihem, and he said to them, Eila hadvarim ashet tziva havaya. These are the things which God commanded, lasot otam, to do, sheshit yamim teaseh melacha. 6 days work should be done, vayom ashvi, etc., and on the seventh day, Shabbat Shabbaton, it will be a Sabbath of Sabbaths. Mamshich b'katuv, and then it continues the next part of the Sedra. Vayomamesh Moshe el kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Moses said to the whole community of the Jewish people, Lemo, saying, Zeh adavar shetzivan Hashem, this is what you have to do. And this second part of it is Shezeh atzivui b'inyin ha-mishkan u'melechet ha-mishkan. That's where he starts commanding the work of the sanctuary. And there have been questions asked about this in previous Chabad discourses, and also cites the Alshich, the famous commentator on the Torah, who lived in Tzfat at the time of the Arizal. And one of the questions is, Ma'o Omron Vayakel Moshe? Why does it say Moshe gathered everyone? This is something very general. It's a general mitzvah. And therefore he had to gather the entire Jewish community, everyone. Other commands that Moshe gave to the Jewish people, he didn't do that. He told certain people, and they told everyone else. But in this case, he gathered the whole people. So the fact he gathered everyone shows there's something very, very generally significant about this command. But we have to understand this. And another question. Now, this first long paragraph goes into a number of different questions, which we'll just go through quickly without some analysis of them at this point. There's a further point, Masha Katuv Eile Hadvarim. These are the things. Udvarim Heim Leshon Rabim. And the word Dvarim is in the plural. And it ends up Umasayim, and it continues with just one statement. For 6 days your work should be done. Shezeo Rakin Yanachad. It's just one thing. So why is it saying it, these are the things, in the plural? Well, the answer to that, incidentally, is the Talmud learns out, Eile, what's the numerical value of Eile?
36.
That's right. Eile is Aleph Lamed He. Aleph is 1, Lamed is 30, He is 5. 36. Now, Hadvarim. Now, if it would just be Dvarim, that would be things. So it must be two things, because it's in the plural. It must be at least two. Hadvarim, adding the definite article, means three things. So 3 and 36 is 39. Ah. So we have the concept of the 39 av melachot, the 39 categories of work hinted at in Eila Hadvarim. So although he's giving them one command about keeping the Sabbath, in order to keep Shabbat, there are these 39 categories of work, and that's hinted at in the words Eila Hadvarim. Then further, v'od tzarich lavin, another point, ma shekatuv asher tziva havaya la'asot otam, which God commanded to do these things. The l'chora haya maspik sheyom asher tziva Hashem, it could have just said which God commanded, ma omro la'asot otam, why does it say to do these things? V'od tzarich lavin diuk kefel alashon, then there's another point, it says this double term, Shabbat and Shabbaton. V'hinei HaRamban, now Nachmanides, there's a wonderful commentary on the Torah by Nachmanides, lived in Barcelona in the 13th century. Mefaresh Sha'amah, he explains that it says, Eile Dvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asot Al Melechet HaMishkan V'chol Kehila V'chol Avodato, That's, he's talking there about building the sanctuary and everything in it. V'hikdima Shabbat, and first of all, there is the law of Shabbat. Lemor, to tell us, kisheshet yamim te'aseh melacha, that for 6 days work should be done, eila hadvarim, these things of building the sanctuary, v'lo b'yom ha'shvi, but not on the seventh day, shukodesh l'Hashem, which is sacred. Now, you might have thought, afal pi, even though, shagam lechta mishkan hi kodesh, making the sanctuary itself is holy. V'hayim akom l'man, a person might have thought, shi mutar b'shabbat, that making the sanctuary is permitted on Shabbat. Of course I can make the sanctuary. The sanctuary is holy. What would be a better day to make a holy thing than Shabbat? But no, it's telling us, yes, indeed, making the sanctuary is a holy activity, but Shabbat is a further dimension where we don't even build the sanctuary. Amnam levadzo, but apart from that, shegam leferusho einem betorat zadayin, even according to his explanation, there's still a question, lama hutzrach lema hatevot la'asot otam. Why does it have to say to do these things in the plural? Vegam diyukhaloshon de Shabbat Shabbaton, also what exactly does it mean by this double expression? Tzarich lahavim perusho she'eila dvarim kai al melechet ha-mishkan, the idea that these things refers to the work of the sanctuary. V'lechora, because at first sight, harim melechet ha-mishkan ne'emra b'psukim la'achazah. The work of the sanctuary is said in the verses afterwards. K'moshe kotuv, yomim Moshe, as it says, Moshe said, doing this and this. Ma'wa perush el advarim kaya melechet ha-mishkan. So why are we saying that these words over here refer to the Mishkan? But after it begemara, and even though it says in the Talmud, as I mentioned before, the ele advarim kaya lamatet melachot, the ele advarim is a hint to the 39 categories of work, because Eila has the numerical value 36, and Davar, one thing, Dvarim, two things, Hadvarim, three things, adding on to 36 makes 39, V'inyan melacha udafka ha dahava b'mishkan chashivit. What we call work on Shabbat is that which was considered work relating to the Mishkan, to the sanctuary. V'ze matim leferush ha-Rambam, that fits with the explanation of the Rambam, the Eil Advarim Kaya Melechet HaMishkan, that it's talking about the making of the Mishkan. Mikol Makom, nonetheless, Einu Mavan, there's still a question, the Lefize Nimtze Sheparshit Eilu Ne'emru B'Seid HaFuch. It seems as if it should be the other way around. The Lechora HaYetzalich Lomet Tchile Melechet HaMishkan, Tchile Tzivui Melechet HaMishkan. First it should say, what is the command for making the sanctuary? HaParsha DeBiyom Moshe, the later part which says God told them to make the sanctuary. V'acha kach lomar Shemelochot Eilu Asorot B'Shabbat, and afterwards to say that this kind of work is forbidden on Shabbat. V'lama ne'ma tchile Shemelochot Eilu Asorot B'Shabbat, that these kinds of work are forbidden on Shabbat without telling us what kinds of work they are. V'chakach kach ne'ma only later does it say about building the sanctuary so that we know what work is meant. But gam tzarich lahabin, also we have to understand hagufa, the very idea, she'inyan de melacha hu davka ma dahava b'mishkan, the whole idea that the work that is considered work is the work that went into the sanctuary. How does the idea of work relate to the concept of the sanctuary? You know, this method of the Rebbe of asking one question after another, he did this in many different contexts. And I remember that very often he would be discussing a comment by Rashi on the Parsha of the week. And he would start asking questions on the Rashi. Why does he say this, and why doesn't he say that, and why does he say this in this way, and why in that way, and why not this word, and why that one? And there was a person called Zalman Jaffe, who came from Manchester. The father-in-law of Zalman Jaffe is Zichron Livracha, the father-in-law of Rabbi Lou. and Libodl Mechaim Lechaim. And Zalman Jaffe would be there very often, and when he was there, the Rebbe would ask him to count the questions, you know. The Rebbe would say, how many questions is that? And he would say, you know, 12. You know, so like, the Rebbe's approach to analyzing any kind of situation was very often one of a whole variety of questions coming from different angles. And then the subsequent talk of the Rebbe would be that sometimes he would ask the questions in one sicha. This is all happening in a Hasidic gathering, with often very large numbers of people, several thousand people there, men downstairs, women upstairs, looking through one-way glass. And the questions would often come in one sicha, one talk, and then there would be singing, and then something else, and the Rebbe would talk about another subject, and another subject. And then he would come back in a third or a fourth sicha and give the answers to the questions, or rather than answer the questions one by one, nor a perspective which answers all the questions. You know, because the questions show that there is a limited perspective of looking at that thing, and if you have a broader perspective, a different kind of perspective, then suddenly all those questions make sense. So, for Yuvan, however, in a discourse, it all came together. That's when it's a sicha. A sicha was a more conversational presentation, but a discourse, especially this kind of discourse where there was a melody beforehand and everyone would stand up and the Rebbe would say it with a particular kind of intensity, it would all be in one piece. But the sichot would often be divided during the Febrengen, one sicha bringing the questions and a later sicha. So in many of the Rebbe's Shabbat talks, there's a commentary on the Zohar, and that is phrased in two sichot, which are separated. So one has to look for the first part of that, which raises questions. It's actually a commentary on a commentary, because the Rebbe's father wrote a commentary on the Zohar. So the first sicha would be asking, quoting and discussing and asking questions on his father's commentary on the passage in the Zohar. And then later on would be another sicha explaining the answers. So when you're trying to put this together, you have to find both sicha. It's in the transcript. So, but here it's one piece. It's an actual discourse. The Yuvan calls it Bahaktim Tchilo. We'll understand all this by first of all thinking about Klalut Inyan Alametet Melachot, the general idea of the 39 categories of work. The Hine Inyan Melacha. What is work? Work is Hu Lahashlim Etzorech Adam, is to complete the needs of a person. The mitzad zeh should tzarich le'eze davar, because the person needs something, lachein hu'oseh et ha'melacha, that's why he does the work. V'chiven sheklalut tzorchei ha'adam nechlakim le'gimel dvarim. And since in general, the needs of a person are divided in three categories, sheheim, which are mazon, food, levush, clothing, Ubayit, and the home that one lives in. Lechein gam lametet hamelachot, therefore also the 39 categories of work, she'inyanam lashlim et tzorchei ha'adam, which have the purpose of fulfilling the needs of a person, nechlakim gam ken begimel plugot elu, are also divided in these three groups. As it says in the Talmud, the Tana Sedura de Patnakat, that at the beginning of the list of the 39 Av Melachot, the 39 categories of work, which are in the Mishnah, which we looked at previously, a list of the categories of work. So that the beginning is plowing and sowing, which has to do with baking bread. Heim ha-melachot de-mazon, those are the kinds of categories of work relating to food. Tovev ve-oreg, spinning and weaving. Heim ha-melachot be-levush, those are the categories of work relating to garments. Ubonev ve-soter, and building and demolishing something in order to build. Heim ha-melachot be-bayit, those are the categories of work relating to having a house, to having a home. So we've got food, garments, home. Those are the three categories, and these are, I think that's what it means, that these are Eila Advarim, these are the things that one is doing during the week, and not doing those kinds of work which go into the effort to prepare food for consumption, so frying, other kinds of cooking can't be done on Shabbat. We have to cook everything before Shabbat and leave it on a hot stove over Shabbat on the blech on top of the stove so that it keeps warm. We can't actually do the cooking on Shabbat, and we can't make clothes on Shabbat. We can't sew, and we can't build or repaper the wall of our house on Shabbat. Ubiya inyan, and the explanation is now, let's try and understand what these things are in spiritual terms. Hamazon, what is food? Inyano shenichnas bepnimiyut ba'adam. Food means it's something that enters the inwardness of the person and has the effect, umakasher et hanefesh im aguf. It bonds the soul to the body. That's what food does. By the fact that we eat, our soul, which is our life, remains bonded to our body, because if, God forbid, we don't eat, person dies. And that means the soul parts from the body. So the effect of food is preserving the bond between body and soul. As they say in English, I'm just going to have a sandwich to keep body and soul together. It's English phrase, yeah, which fits exactly with this Hasidic concept. Vahainu, and that means the imeyot shavadai, even though certainly ir shalomer shahanefesh mekabelet chayut ma'amazon. You can't say the soul derives something from the food. The soul is spiritual, the food is earthly. Mikol makom, nonetheless, you can't have radiance without a vessel. And similarly, the soul can't achieve what it wants to achieve without having the body. And so this is the effect of food. It strengthens the body, shiyeh kli la-nefesh, that it should be a vessel for the soul. Sha'az mitkasheret ha-nefesh im aguf. And then the body and the soul are bonded together. Uvemele nimshach tosfet chayut gam ba-nefesh. And therefore also more life force flows into the soul, kibun shedavka al-yedei aguf, since it's specifically through the body that yucholah ha-nefesh, that the soul is able, lifol puloteya, to achieve its activities. So there we have the effect of food. V'hine kol zeh b'mazon shenichnas bepnimiyut ha'adam. All this is with food which a person eats. It goes inside him or her. V'nase dam u'vasar kibsaron. It becomes blood and flesh of part of the person. So that's food. Omnam inyan alavush, but garments, they're a different category. The garment doesn't go inside the person. It surrounds the person. Now, although the garment surrounds the person, at the same time it protects the person. It protects him from too much heat or from rain. The gam po'elbo, and also has an effect for the person of yofi, of beauty. K'maim Razal, as the sages tell us about a certain rabbi, Dekari Le Lemani Mechabduta, he called his clothes my that which makes me honorable, because by wearing honorable clothes, that expresses the honor, the grandeur of the person. So there is a quality of beauty and of honor and of glory that is expressed simply by the clothes that a person wears. So that's the dimension of clothing, that it surrounds the person, it protects, and also adds a dimension of beauty. Achinyana bayit, and then we come to the home, the house. Hu mibachutz legamri la'adam. That's completely further away from the person. V'hu makif yoter rachok. It surrounds him, but at a more, at a greater distance. Ach gam abayit megin el adam. But the house too protects the person. Shabayit hu mirse mizeren umamata, and the house protects him from the storm. V'gam poel bo yofi, and also has the effect of adding beauty to the person. K'mo shekatuv tiferet adam lashevet bayit. It's the glory of a person, the splendor of a person to dwell in a home. As people are very particular to have beautiful homes, because, and to move to a nice home, that the home that a person lives in somehow expresses something about them, and that it's some quality of their own character which is being expressed in the home, even though, of course, it's something surrounding the person, but the person tries to make that home express their own character. So whether it's home or clothing, both of them, in some sense, are expressing something about the person, whereas and are surrounding the person, whereas the food is something the person takes inside. Now, this is all setting the stage to a kind of spiritual interpretation of this, which helps us to be able to consider our own physical lives as really manifesting something spiritual all the time. Even though the food is inward and the garments in the home are surrounding. Now there is this polarity in Hasidic thought, something that's inside, pnimi, inward, and something surrounding. And they can be in two forms, because the pnimi and makif. So pnimi means inward and makif means surrounding. Now that can be, makif can be pejorative. To say it's surrounding can sometimes be a way of saying it's superficial. He only has a makif understanding of this thing. He doesn't really understand it, the pnimiyot. He doesn't understand it inwardly. He hasn't internalized it. So that's one way, linguistically, of using these terms, so that pnimi is something more profound and makif is something which is more remote and superficial. But there is another way of understanding them as well, that pnimi is something inward, but it's lower down the scale of the sefirot. So if we consider the different sefirot, the makif sefirot, the surrounding sefirot, are on a higher level, and they are really dimensions of keter. So we have sefirot like wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and so on, going down, kindness, severity. Those are all the inner sefirot. And then we have the surrounding sefirot, which are aspects of the sefira keter. So in Kabbalistic terms, there are different terminology used, but also we can use psychological terms. Will is the lower level, and delight is the higher level. Now, in this discourse, he doesn't use these terms, will and delight. He uses a kind of Kabbalistic terminology, which is Arich and Atik. This is Kabbalist, the Lurianic terminology. But it's a higher dimension of the spiritual. And it's something which surrounds, like you could say that wisdom is very focused within a person. You understand a person, a certain thing. You're trying to understand how to, how to drive a car. So you understand this thing is for that and this button does this. So that's wisdom, that's knowledge that you have inside you. That's very focused. The will that a person has is much more generalized. The will is something which covers the entire person. You've got a will that you want to go to a certain place. Well, driving the car might be part of it, but then there may be a lot of other factors also involved, and the will relates to all those factors, whatever is involved, because the will is something more general. And when you get to that place and you achieve what you want to achieve, there is a delight, there is the pleasure which you've achieved that thing. And even before you achieve it, the fact that you know that this delight is part of, is what you're really aiming for. So that is a more general and a more powerful dimension of the inner spiritual structure of the person. So what is happening in this discourse is that the inner dimension is like food, and then the first level of the surrounding level, like the will, is like clothing. And then the further surrounding level, delight, that is like the house, the home. So, and this all goes back to the divine. So to these qualities in the divine, and our food, clothing, and home relate to a kind of a divine process which we are manifesting here in this world. It's, okay. Vihine. We're up to the word Vihine on this page Vav, halfway down. Vihine, behold, Av Shahamazon hu bepnimiyut, even though the food is inward, ulavush abayit heimakifim, and the garment and the home are surrounding, mikol makom nonetheless, yesh maile belavush abayit almazon. There is something greater about the garment and the house over the food. Now, contrasting with the way in which I mentioned that very often inward and surrounding, surrounding is a pejorative concept, but here he's focusing on it as a positive concept. Dehine, avshin yanam bazon, even though the idea of food is that it goes to the inwardness of the person, and it bonds the soul together with the body, nonetheless, what's revealed through the food, it is the revealed qualities of the person, sheklalutam hi b'chinat nefesh ruach neshama. What's being revealed, and now here we have another combination of categories. There's nefesh, ruach, neshama. These are three aspects of the soul. If we're trying to translate these words, they all translate as soul. So there's nefesh is actually the lowest level. Ruach, a higher dimension, and neshama, which is even higher. Those are three levels of the soul, which are, so to speak, within the person. We then have a higher level of soul, which is called chaya, and an even higher level, which is called yechida. And what this discourse is doing, it's connecting Chaya with this level and Yechida with that upper level. So we're talking about different dimensions of the soul being revealed in the different aspects of our life. So food, so to speak, which bonds the soul to the body, what part of the soul is it bonding to the body? Nefesh, ruach, and neshama, because that's the part of the soul that's within the body. Food functions as a vessel for this aspect of the soul. Avla makifim shel nefesh. But the surrounding dimensions of the soul, chaya and yechida, they are not revealed. Lo mitgalim al yedei hamazon. They're not revealed through food. The yod she'ein shayich behem kelim, because they don't have the kind of vessel that is there in terms of food and the whole biological structure, the effect that food has when we eat food. Ach halavush, but the garment, which is something makif, surrounding, harei hu magia gam lamakifim de nefesh. The garment that a person wears relates to this more surrounding aspect of the soul. Shezeu shalavush poel yofi ba'adam. That's why garments bring out the beauty of a person, because they're bringing out a higher dimension of the person's own essence. They're bringing out something extra of the quality of the person, which radiates through the person, because and the way in which that is expressed is through the garment. Now, we don't usually see this, but if you would imagine, for example, a man wearing a talit on Shabbat, yes, a nice big talit with tzitzit, there's a tremendous beauty in that quality, or wearing a robe, a bride wearing a white dress. There's a way in which some metaphysical quality is being revealed through the garment. And food, however tasty or delicious the food might be, the food doesn't have that same quality doesn't have that revelatory quality in the same way. Food can be something extremely powerful. The moment of drinking the glass of wine, the kiddush wine on Shabbat, which of course women have to make as well as men, so that moment of drinking the kiddush wine, that is a very spiritual moment. There one is drinking a glass of wine or grape juice in expression of a mitzvah of the Torah, that we should remember the Sabbath day, we should express that today is Shabbat, and the kiddush expresses that today is Shabbat. But it doesn't add the same luster to the person in the way that clothing or the home that they are in adds a kind of a luster to the person and the people living in the home. The inyan hayofi hu bechinat makif, because beauty is a surrounding quality. Beauty is a surrounding quality. V'hainu shitgalut v'kishu ha-nefesh, the revealing and the bonding of the soul to the body, alidei chizuk ha-guf, through strengthening the body through eating, shenasim itzad pulat ha-mazon, which is done by eating, hu inyan pnimi, that's an inner thing. Aval inyan ha-yofi, but beauty, hu pchinat makif, is something surrounding. Omlam gam alavush pola yofi, but even the garment which causes this expression of beauty, harei hayofi hu ba'adam inim gufa, it's beauty in the person themselves. Ba'ainu shu bechinat ha'makif ha'shayich el ha'pnimi, it is a surrounding quality which relates to that particular person. It relates to the inwardness of that particular person. Shu ha'makif techaya, that's the first level of the surrounding element of the soul. Aval hayofi v'atiferet, but the beauty and splendor, shemitzad ha'bayit, coming from the house, tiferet adam la'shevet bayit, the splendor of a person to sit in a house. Imagine, you go to visit the king, so the king doesn't dwell in an ordinary home. The king dwells in a palace, because the palace expresses the grandeur of the king. So it's a higher level of grandeur, and everyone is peering to see where is the king, where is the king. Oh, I caught a glimpse of the king. There's an extra level of splendor and of beauty which is revealed through the fact, in association with the fact, that there is a palace. Hare hayofi eina ba'adam gufa, that beauty is not focused so much on the person, yotam makif harachok, because it's a more distant surrounding force. She'eino shaykh el ha'pnimi, not relating to the inwardness. That's the revelation of the quality of Yechida, which is the deepest level of the soul, as it is also in physical terms, that garments, although they surround us, clothes surround us, but very closely. Clothes have to fit the person. You have to measure the garments in order to make sure they fit the person. And what fits a tall man won't fit a short man. But the house, anyone can go into the house. Vabayit humakiv rachok is a more distant surrounding quality. And it doesn't fit the person. Every person fits in the house. It's not so small that you, for a big person, you need a bigger house. Might be if you've got children at that point in life and you need a house where each one's got a bedroom, and then later on. But, Shahari Abayit Kolel B'Tocho Lo Rak Et Ha'Adam, the house has in it not only the person, Elegam Shadvarim, but also other things. V'inyan Zeh Sheyesh Ma'ale B'Levush Al Mazon, the fact that there is something extra, something more there about the garment over the food, or Babayit Alabush, and in the home over the garment, Nireh Gam B'Gashmiyot, is seen physically in a very simple way. We need food more than we need garments and a home. I mean, in theory, a person could exist without a house, could live in a tent or live in a ditch, and in theory, a person could survive without clothes. But we do need food. We must have food in order for the body to survive. And then comparing body, house and clothing. You need the garment more than you need the home. Mikol makom, nonetheless, hamazon eno machzik zman rav. Although we need the food more, it doesn't last. You have to get more food every day. And food is comparatively cheap compared with clothes. Whereas garments are more expensive, and they last longer, and the house is even more expensive, and it lasts even longer. So it's very interesting that these simple, physical, even economic aspects of life are here being connected to the whole chain of Sfirot and different dimensions of the soul. Because from the point of view of this discourse, existence is an expression of spiritual realities. And although we are not saying that the existence itself is just a veil, and the spiritual reality, that's the truth, and we can ignore the veil. Because in Jewish teaching, the practical reality of life is very significant. However, what is a veil is to think, and an illusion is to think that the practical reality exists by itself. It doesn't exist by itself. It is an expression of an inner spiritual dimension. And so therefore we need the physical reality and we need the spiritual dimension as well. And we need to be able to appreciate that the physical reality emerges from and expresses and affects the spiritual dimension as well. So they work in tandem. So everything is significant. But it's revealing this dimension to us about very simple economic facts, like trying to buy a house or sell a house and get the right price with the help of God. So v'tamadava, and the reason is liot shamazon upnimi, since the food is inward, shuba madrega pchuta, which in terms of our diagram makes it on a lower level, v'alavush v'abayit him makifim, and the garment and the home are higher levels of surrounding dimension, shem b'madrega nalit, which are on a higher level of the sphere. V'lachein heim b'yoker machzikim ribu zman. And therefore they're more expensive and they last longer. U'b'prat yitinei alabushu makif ha-karov, af'abayit hu makif ha-rechok. So the garment is the closer makif, the closer surrounding, and the house is the further surrounding. D'b'chlalut hu inyan. Now here's a very interesting idea, that the house is the concept of dalet amot shel adam, the four cubits around a person, shebehem mitgale etzem adam, where the essence of the person is revealed. Now there's a beautiful passage, I don't know whether this is really what the discourse is referring to. There is in the footnote, there is a whole series of references which I'm afraid I didn't manage to look up. But there is a passage in Rashi on the Chumash, which is also within the Zohar, that around each person there is the air, hopefully, of the Garden of Eden, which surrounds the person, and in this atmosphere of the Garden of Eden is the fragrance of the good deeds that the person does. So it's like a fragrance which is around the person. And
was that gracious?
Yes. Now we have with when Jacob comes to Isaac to be blessed. That's right. So it says that Isaac smelled the scent of his garments, and there are a number of commentaries what that means, but one of them is that he smelt the scent of the Garden of Eden which surrounded him. And when a few minutes later Esau comes in to see Isaac, Isaac's blind, see, he was frightened. Isaac was shocked. And Rashi says he saw Gehinnom underneath or around Esau. So if a person is unfortunately a negative person, then they are surrounded not by the air of the Garden of Eden, but by the air of Gehinnom, in which are recorded their negative activity. So there is this sort of aroma, this I suppose what people would today call an aura, round the person, which is and that is this surrounding quality. Which is also the four cubits of the person.
Which is interesting because I was going to say on Shabbos you're not allowed to go dalad amos, you're not allowed to go four cubits in a public domain. You're not allowed to carry. Right, that's the amount you're not allowed to carry.
I didn't follow what you think.
Well, we're mentioning these four cubits round a person.
Yes.
And Sally was talking about the aura.
Yeah.
And just it's ringing bells with me that we're talking here about Shabbat. On Shabbat, you know, you're not allowed to carry from private to public or public to private or private to another private. But also, you're not allowed to carry in the street and more than four cubits. You pick up something, you carry it for four cubits, and you put it down, then you've carried something on Shabbat. And we're talking here also connecting it with Shabbat.
Hmm.
And also the Gemara says that when a person's walking in the street and he sees something in the street which doesn't belong to anybody, then if it comes within four cubits of him, then he acquires it that way. Normally you acquire something by picking it up. So this is the aura around him, the four cubits. And also I was something that was, sorry, it's just ringing all these bells, something that was puzzling me very much, which I read, I think we learnt it in a Mama, was that since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed,
Ein la kadosh.
all that God's involved in is the four amos, the four cubits again of halacha. And I was wondering exactly, you know, what this means. But it's interesting that that's also connected with the temple, domain, which we're also talking
right.
about here.
Right.
So in a funny way, all these four cubits are all connected.
Mm. Yes, so there is a beautiful essay that could be written.
There's a lovely echo. Cubits. I mean, it's just echoing in my mind.
Yeah. It's very interesting, as Anthony says. It's fascinating. You see, this idea of the home, just taking the point of carrying.
Yeah.
See, if you're standing in your doorway, let's say your front door opens out into the street. So you're standing in the doorway holding something in your hand, and then you walk into the street, that is considered carrying on Shabbat, because you're going from the private domain into the public domain, or vice versa. But also, if you're standing in the street and you walk more than 4 cubits, which is 6 foot, you're carrying something, then that is also called carrying, because you've let
you're walking out your own boundary.
Yeah, where you're standing, the 4 cubits around you, that represents your domain.
Your space.
That's your space. And then you're walking out of it. It's true that you could imagine that your space is walking with you, but for this purpose it doesn't. It's you've walked out of it, and so you've carried something. And indeed all these other aspects of the 4 cubits. So there we have the and what it says here, that the essence of the person is revealed in these 4 cubits. That's a very interesting.
Must be Ivrit Tali where it says that.
Sure, it's the last line of this top paragraph. The Bichlalud in general, who inyan, that's the abbreviation, Dalad Amot Shel Adam, the 4 cubits of the person, Shebahem, in which Mitgaleh is revealed, Etzem, the essence, Ha'adam, of the person.
Well, what does he mean by that? That's an interesting.
Yes, I mean, that's why I quoted, I cited this idea of the atmosphere of the Garden of Eden around the person with their good deeds, which are the good things that a person has done. So it's more than just being the technical space of the person. It's really the reality of
the atmosphere around him.
Yes, yeah, it's really... you know, some sort of depth that is revealed just by seeing a person. You know, and in today's language, you know, the vibes, the way the person resonates.
I would say
resonates.
In English, the presence.
The presence, yes. The
presence.
Yes.
You know, somebody walks into the room, you feel a presence.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Presence being.
What do you say, Nick?
Sorry?
Not necessarily.
No, 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 but I mean, presence means.
Or the opposite.
Presence means he's present.
Yeah.
That's
what
it means.
Yeah.
So.
This phrase, Mit Galei Atzem Hadam, it's so beautiful.
It is, yeah.
It carries with it such a wonderful.
Sorry, which phrase?
This phrase, Mit Galei Atzem.
Etzem ha'adam. The essence of the person is revealed.
It's beautiful.
It is indeed. Yeah. Well,
that's my work, you know, that's what I'm doing all the time.
To get down to the essence of the person.
Yeah, exploring that. That's a beautiful way of putting it. That's a wonderful idea, that the work of therapy is getting to the essence.
He's befriending the essence of the person, helping to bring it out.
And helping the person.
Helping the person to realize what their essence is.
Yeah. Very lovely.
A way to appreciate themselves.
Yeah. Very lovely.
What was the abbreviation above?
Hu Inyan. That is, Okay, so now we're on section Gimel. Now we're going to, we've been looking at it in a sort of, you know, kind of a spiritual way within the person and the soul of the person. But now we're actually going to focus on the Sefirot in this section. Now the reason why shebetzorchei adam, that in the needs of a person yesh mazon levush u'bayit, there's the idea of food, garment, and home. Hare zeh kamo b'chol davar, it's like as in the case of everything sheyeshno lamato, which exists below, shehu mitzad shorcho lamala, it's because of its root above. Similarly, these three aspects, food, garment, and house, of the lower, of the person below, is because of the root of the person in the upper person, the sfirot, the divine sfirot, the ten sfirot. In them, we can discern the three qualities of food, garment, and house. Now, this is as follows. She'inyan ha'orot bekelim shebe'eses sfirot, the radiance which is within the vessels. Now, let's just try and... if we imagine the sfirot, that this is like very, you know, coarse... if we imagine these sort of spherical... something, and within that there is a flow of radiance. Well, let's give it red, otherwise the radiance won't show. So we have the radiance flowing within these different spherot. Yes, so imagine that there are 10 spherot. And the radiance is flowing down. Now the point about this, the radiance flowing within, is that it's connecting this divine, this manifestation of the divine, with the Ein Sof beyond. And so the radiance which is flowing here, that's something flowing within the structure of the Sfirot. Let's just see. The radiance within the vessels of the ten sfirot, uprinat mazon, is like food. Now, as well as this inner aspect of the radiance within the sfirot, there are also what's called garments. Now, what are the garments? Kamaima levushin tekinat lon. You gave them garments, and that's a phrase from the Zohar. And what does it mean, garments? The garments are usually explained as the worlds. That there are, you see, if we imagine this as the ten sfirot of Atzilut, so emerging from that is the worlds. There's Atzilut, then you have Briah, creation, Yetzirah, formation, Asiya, action. So there is a kind of the garment which is around this inner quality, and those are the levels of worlds which are the garments of the Sfirot. They express the Sfirot, and also there is another concept. Now, there is a concept of a house in this spherotic realm. The idea of heichalot, palaces. So there is this spiritual dimension of palaces, which... like we have in the description of the Baal Shem Tov, his soul ascending to higher and higher levels, and he comes to a certain heichal, this certain palace. This is a very profound aspect of Jewish mysticism. One of the earliest things that there are records about, which is called heichalot or merkava mysticism, the mysticism of the chariot, the mysticism of palaces, which is all about souls ascending to higher and higher spiritual levels, and it's like they reach some kind of domain, and they're in that domain, then they can climb to a higher domain somehow or other. So this is like, this is different to these worlds. It's some sort of specific domain. Like there's the Heichal Hanagina, the palace of melody, or Heichal Moshiach, the palace of the Messiah. So there are different domains, and somehow this is a further dimension of the way in which these three aspects of a human being are rooted in those Kabbalistic dimensions, which are really aspects of the divine. I hope you're taking all this in as regards selling and buying a home.
Selling and buying a home.
Mimi is moving. Oh, and really? So, yeah, so this is a very serious Kabbalistic step, going from one Heichal to the other.
Probably more worried about the stamp duty.
Well, that's there must be some mystical source for the stamp duty.
It's always something.
Yes, Kesef. Gordon Brown and Kesef.
Yes.
He wants money.
Okay, so Uchamayim Razal. Now, here we come to the phrase that you were quoting, as the sages tell us, Shemishachara Beit HaMikdash, that when the temple was destroyed, Ein lo laKadosh Baruch Hu, God only has Eile Dalet Amot Shel Halacha, the four cubits of Halacha. V'Hare Dalet Amot, now the four cubits, who in Yinabayit, that means the home, Kaniska Le'el, as we mentioned above. Shebehem mitgaleh etzem, where the essence is revealed. Again, this idea of the essence being revealed, when we're talking about God, that when the temple was destroyed, you see, when the temple was there, so somehow godliness is revealed in the temple. So you have the home, the temple, that's a building, revealing godliness. And when the temple's destroyed, then it's the four cubits of halacha. The actual fact that the person is keeping Shabbat the way these books describe, and keeping kashrut and other aspects of Jewish life. It's in that way that godliness is revealed there in the world, and the essence of godliness. Ubipratyot yoter, and in more detail, hine inyana orot bekelim, the radiance in the vessels is the quality of food. Shahare tamam shachad orot bekelim, the reason why the radiance is flowing down into these vessels of the Sfirot, there is some quality, the Sfirot draw the radiance into them. See, the radiance is flowing down because the Sfirot somehow draw that radiance down. And that's like food. Food joins the soul and body together. And through the fact that the soul and body are joined, there is extra life force in the soul. So too the vessels of the Sfirot, that draws down the radiance. And so that's why it is similar. It's called, it can be called food, liotim akasher or rotim akelim, by the fact that it's joining the radiance to the vessels. Val yedei zeh pol tosvot or tosvot gam ba'or. It causes a greater quality to flow down within the radiance itself. So then it speaks. This flow is of the radiance as it flows down into the vessel, which is in an inward way. But the idea, but the garment. Now, I translated the phrase from the Zohar about the garments in the way that it's very often translated as worlds. But here uses another phrase. The garments are shu b'chinat chashmal ha'elyon. Now, chashmal in modern Hebrew means electricity. But let's just try to forget that for a moment. Although it's somehow a very apt word to have chosen for electricity. But where we see Chashmal is in the vision of Ezekiel, where there's a tremendous divine vision, and he says that there is a radiance around this vision which he calls Chashmal. And so it's a quality of some kind of radiance, which comes from the externality of upper bina, upper understanding, in other words, it's some element which flows from a higher level of the sfirot, and it becomes something surrounding all the sfirot, and it sources at a very exalted level the quality of bina. That is this surrounding level, but even this surrounding level is only the inner surrounding level, like clothes, because there's a further dimension which is the outer surrounding level, like the house. And then in the last three lines of this, he translates this into Keter. That in Keter, you have the two dimensions. You've got the lower level of Keter and the higher level. And so they are described as the source of these two types of surrounding radiance. And so therefore, what we've got is basically the system of the Sfirot, with one level of surrounding quality coming from the lower level of Keter, and another level of surrounding quality, which is like the house, from the higher level of Keter. So, you know, one might say that he's moving from different ways of describing this realm of Sfirot, and different aspects of the Sfirot, in order to build up this image that the life of a person, which in terms of the simple practicalities of life is involved in organizing, cooking, food, and having clothing, and a home, and that's what we're working, that's our work revolves, eventually is supplying that dimension of our lives, that it all emerges from this sacred level. Now, it's got very late, and so I'll just tell you that the he then translates this into more familiar language in a way, which we find in Tanya, the idea of Mamale Kol Almin, the radiance within the world, and Sovev Kol Almin, the radiance surrounding, and then there is the level beyond Sovev and Mamale. So again, three dimensions, like there's a divine radiance within everything, within this stool, there is a divine radiance which is making it exist. That's the radiance within the world. There's also a kind of pervasive radiance which is within everything in existence, and then there's beyond that, there's the essence of godliness beyond that. And so that's like the three levels of the food, that which is within, the clothing, and that which is completely beyond, which is like the house. We have the whole idea, one second, in Dalad. Well, they're fascinating concepts here, you know, the way in which individuality in terms of clothes, and the way that the house separates from the inside to the outside. It's a very fascinating concept. Then going back to the idea of the Mishkan, that's in chapter Hay, the fact that these kinds of labor which create these three dimensions of work, of food, and of clothing, and of house, that's what makes the sanctuary. And so therefore the sanctuary where godliness is revealed is really the essence of all of this that's happening. And we ourselves are the manifestations of the sanctuary, having the sanctuary within us, that God said, make for me a sanctuary and I will dwell within them, within each individual. And so if we just look at the last paragraph, Vav, on the penultimate page, and that is what it says, Moshe gathered the whole community of the Jewish people. Because this took place the day after Yom Kippur, in other words, the day when he came down the mountain with the second tablets, that in last week's Seder was the whole furore because of the making of the golden calf, and finally God forgave the Jewish people and he came down with the second set of tablets. And that means that even though the world was created whole and beautiful, nonetheless things went wrong. There was the snake in the Garden of Eden and the eating from the tree of knowledge, and then there was a moment at the giving of the Torah when the impurity which that had caused in the world was purified, but then came the sin of the golden calf and the impurity returned. But the day after Yom Kippur was a moment of total forgiveness for the sin of the golden calf, and then v'chazah ha'olam, the world went back liot to be b'ma'amad u'matzav kamo sh'ayah mitzad etzem itavut ha'olam, the way it was at the very beginning of creation, whole, perfect. It's a moment of perfection. It's a beautiful idea that our sedra opens with a moment of perfection, as if it's a completely new, beautiful world. Despite the sin of the golden calf, it's now forgiven. There are the second set of tablets, and it's this fantastic moment of opportunity. And at this moment, Moses gathers the whole Jewish people, and he tells them the idea of the service of God. This is what God is telling you to do. In other words, what is it that he's telling you to do? He's telling you to do these 39 categories of work. He's telling you that you have to transform the world. You have to la'asot otam. You have to do these things, because what you are doing, you're putting right the whole of existence. Because our work, whether it's making food or clothes or a house, everything that we do, all our activities relating back to this spiritual system of the Sfirot and the spiritual Mishkan, we are transforming existence so as to reveal godliness in the world, so as to make this world into a dwelling for the divine. And the vision that Moses had of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, when he was on Mount Sinai, that vision now has to be translated into the reality of working for 6 days. And the 6 days means also the 6 millennia of the existence of the world, and that within this time, godliness should be revealed with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. And that will be the Shabbat, Shabbaton, etc. we have exceeded our time, but here we have this.
This is something very beautiful. Thank you.
Very nice, very, very interesting, very beautiful. The interesting thing is, talking about this four armors of God, is the Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Mishichorah Pesamidash Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Dalalama Shalalocha. I was remembering a previous mama which we had, where we explained there, but what does it mean? God is only to be found in the four amos of halacha, that it's difficult to explain. So explained it that all the Gemara and all the Torah you learn, till you get to the halacha, that's where you can find the Almighty.
Yeah. Right.
The way you described it this week was it's perfectly right, was a different explanation, as I understood it, that through doing things according to the halacha, you know, like keeping Shabbos, and that's where you can find spirituality.
Mm. Yes, I think that's what it means, yes.
I mean, it interests me very much.
In terms of the aura around the person, of the good deeds that the person is doing.
I noticed.
Keeping the mitzvot, keeping the halakha, yes.
Yeah.
And that's really, the mitzvah bonds the person to God and reveals the very essence of the person. And the mitzvot that the person does are the true reality.
And you could say that's the translation of the word mitzvah.
Mm.
As in Savsa, as
yes.
in Vata Tata.
Connecting, yes.
It's a connection.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very interesting. It also is very, very interesting about the essence of a person.